Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the show. It's the Conference USA Report podcast for week 7 of the 2019 season. How are you doing out there, ladies and gentlemen? I imagine that if you are a Hilltopper fan, a Louisiana Tech fan, a Golden Eagle fan, and maybe even an FAU fan, you feel pretty good right now. You are undefeated in conference, and things are looking up. We're going to talk about it. But first, let me do my due diligence and let you know that you can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and other places. Just click the link on the site. Become a member of ConferenceUSAReport.com and help support the podcast and other things like this. Make it happen. It's reasonably priced. Was it $3 a month, $30 a year? Perfect. It's the perfect spot. It's not too expensive that you're going to be upset and wonder why you're paying for something like that. But it's not too little that it doesn't make a difference for what we do here. Without further ado, let's get into it, ladies and gentlemen. How about those Western Kentucky Hilltoppers, ladies and gentlemen? I need that Jimmy Johnson quote, right? How about them Hilltoppers? Rah! 3-0 in conference, right? This was a non-conference game here. You beat Army, a very good Army team, 17-8. Not a good score. It was very old school. Like, if you got this game and took it to 1988, then you're excited about it. You're like, wow, that's a good football score. That's what we're talking about. You know, run the ball, dominate time of possession. You know, play great defense. It's ugly football, right? When somebody else is, you know, like, I think at a similar time, like LSU and Florida playing, I wouldn't blame you if you are a casual fan and you just switched over to that one, or maybe had that one up on the ESPN Plus multi-screen there. In any case, it doesn't matter. A win is a win, and wins feel better than losses. 3-0 on the season is the most important part, right? This Army win doesn't do a whole lot for the team's prospects in Conference USA, but it does for them reputationally speaking, right? This is a good win. You can point to this win. Yeah, you read all the quotes in post game, and it sounds like the Hilltoppers are buying into it. Tyson Helton wants them to do. I want to say Clay Helton. Here's the deal. I am still on the fence on this offense. Ty Story had something like 140 yards passing in this game. I don't know how that is sustainable. Yeah, he's 21 of 30 for 140 yards. Like, I don't know how that's sustainable in the very long term. Giving it to Gage Walker, you know, 20-25 times a game seems great. I'd like to see better quarterback play from this team. But you know what? Right now, it doesn't matter. You're getting wins. That is what matters, right? This team struggled a ton, you know, in the past couple seasons under Mike Sanford, who's supposed to be an offensive guy. I always say that, like, yes, you would ultimately like to score a lot of points, but what fans want is wins, right? Then you can work on the style afterward. So, what is it, 60 points scored in 3 games in conference? You have a couple teams like FAU scored 73 in 2 games, right? North Texas scored 72 in 2 games. Now, you're not super impressed, but only the 30 allowed in 3 games. That is what's impressive. I think they have the least points allowed against by any team in Conference USA, not named UAB. But hey, guess what? You already beat UAB, right? You intercepted Johnson 4 times, and that one made him look terrible. And he had been looking really good, getting those clips on Twitter where, you know, praising the quarterback and tagging the quarterback and the things and getting extra likes, right? People are doing that. But he made him throw 4 interceptions. You look at the rest of this East division, FAU is still probably the team to beat, right? They're also 4-2, just like Western Kentucky. But they're 2-0 in conference. They get a win this week. Lane Kiffin is a great coach. He's a good coach. has he's a great offensive mind, and he's a good coach. He's won everywhere he's been. He's already won a league title here. He knows how to turn talent into production. You know, this is not a super imposing FAU offense. This is not that 2017 season where they were scoring 50 points a game and just crushing everybody. But four straight wins, right? 41-31 over Ball State at Ball State, 42-7 over Wagner, 45-27 over Charlotte, a tough and a spunky Charlotte. And then this one, a little bit ugly, 28-13. But last year you lost to Middle Tennessee. Last year, you'd find a way to lose this game. This season, finding a way to win. I thought last year the quarterback play was holding back a lot. I think Robeson is a much improved quarterback. They're not just really like a they're not great in any area, but I think they have one of the better offenses in this league. Their defense is what's the word I'm looking for, y'all? Opportunistic. And, you know, I think overall they're a more complete team than anybody. And that includes Western Kentucky. But here's the deal. You got to play at Western Kentucky in, was it the beginning of November, something like that? If you're FAU, you got home against Marshall in a tough game. Marshall has been the only team that has really given the FAU offense a game, right? Really challenged them and made them do something. Now, FAU's beat them, right? It didn't matter, but they've beat them over the last couple seasons. But that's a big game because Marshall has problems of their own. We'll talk about them in a little bit. But FAU, you win that game. You're feeling good because I don't think Old Dominion, you go to Old Dominion. I don't think that game is going to give you too much trouble. Then a big showdown with Western Kentucky and a game that could essentially decide the division. Now, again, I know I sound ridiculous saying, well, you play division games and that'll decide the division. But I don't really see a whole lot of hiccups for FAU along the way. And, you know, if Western Kentucky is able to continue their streak by this time, you know, you're out of there with, you know, a game in hand against them, right? Head-to-head win against them. FAU schedule, FIU after that, the big, you know, Shula Bowl, and then UTSA, not too tough. And then Southern Miss, which is a big game, but it's a non-divisional game. So I don't know that's going to decide a whole lot. Maybe just who gets to host the title game maybe at that point. Western Kentucky, again, I don't know how sustainable this is. They got a good defense. You play home to Charlotte next week. Charlotte had a good offense, right? They were scoring. I think everybody kind of figured them out, and they lost a little confidence right now. Again, we'll talk about them in a second. But that's a game that I think you can win because Charlotte's defense is talented, but I don't think they're able to shut anybody down. Western Kentucky likes to make an ugly game, and then they feel good, right? They played a lot of ugly games up to this point. So when it gets ugly and grindy and grimy, I think Western Kentucky right now is in a good spot. They like that. Now I think other teams will feel uncomfortable. For Western Kentucky, it's home against Charlotte at Marshall in a big game, right? Big rivalry game. Then, you know, hosting FAU, a trip to Arkansas for whatever reason. And then you got Southern Miss and Middle Tennessee to close out the season. Southern Miss is a very talented offense, and I think that's going to be a test for this defense. It's very good defense and done very well. You know, they made James Morgan look bad. They made Tyler Johnson look bad. They shut down Army's run game. So you feel good about, all the, you know, this defense. But that talent, there's a lot of talent on Southern Miss. And we'll talk about them in a second because they got a big win in the West Division this weekend. In fact, let's move over to the West and talk about those undefeated teams. Louisiana Tech beat up on UMass. And you know what? I'm not going to talk too much about that because it's not super impressive to beat up on UMass. I think UMass has lost to any and everybody that they played. Just quick look at their score line. They haven't allowed fewer than, they beat Akron 37-29 in a weird game, but they got blinked by FIU. Tech had 69 against them. Nice. And I think it was like a 42 point spot on at like halftime or something like that. You know, UMass is not good. Okay, so that's not to knock Louisiana Tech. We're just saying that you're not really learning a whole lot from this game. Everybody played well. Jamar Smith threw three scores. Henderson ran for three scores. You know, good stuff all the way around. But other than that, yeah, I'm looking at the score line right now. It was 52-14 at halftime. It just, you know, this is just a complete blowout. I think when you score 69 points, it usually is. But Louisiana Tech fans, I don't know how you feel about your squad. You got five straight wins, right? You beat Grambling, Bowling Green. The FIU win was a big one, right? Because FIU is talented. They were expected to compete for an East Division crown. You shut them down, you know. You beat them at home, 43-31. You feel good about that one. Then you play Rice in a game that it seems like Louisiana Tech would struggle in. They did struggle. You get a big overtime win there. Jamar Smith comes up huge, 23-20 win. This game, which is a throwaway game, now the biggest game, right? On NFL Network. At home against Southern Miss, the number two team in the division, but probably a team that can, I don't know, I'm going to say it. I think Southern Miss should be favored in this one. They have so much talent all over the field. It used to be that Tech had a lot of talent all the time, right? Like they were the ones that you just had talent all over the field. And it's still the case. But right now, everybody's talking about this explosive Southern Miss offense. They looked great against North Texas. Not so much in like, look at them, wow, they're just exploding for points. But when it came to a sticky moment, right, when it came, hey, it's a big third down, they found a way all the way down the line, right? Let's pause for a second and talk about the offensive process, right? You have to design the play. You got to practice the play. You got to call the play. You got to execute the play, right? All those things, those four things, all came into play. Great play calls, right? Great execution. Jack Abraham hitting his guys in the hands, in stride, where they can go make plays. Quez Watkins, 8 catches, 198 yards and a score. DeMichael Harris was ridiculous, 14 carries, 103 yards on the ground, and he had like 79 yards or 86 yards, I forget what it is, through the air. He was great, and don't forget, was it Tony Adams, right? And then Jalen Adams. I'm getting somebody's name wrong, but you get my point. My point is they're good. My point is they put up 563 yards of offense. They had 24 first downs in this game. They dominated time of possession because their defense came up huge, hit Mason Fine, had him throw an interception. There was like a miracle kind of interception where I forget who it was. A defender just like dove backwards to tip the ball. The ball pops up off his foot as he fell down and spun. Interception. They bring the ball down to the 10 or something like this. USM scores in the very next play. And what was a one-point deficit turns into a lead. And you know, you force another punt, go down, score again, and you end the half 28-20, right? This is a big game. This is a huge game. North Texas came in. They had Southern Miss's number. I think Jay Hobson was 0-3 against North Texas in his time there. Tim Jones is what I'm thinking of. I think it repeated Adams. You know, Jay Hobson was hadn't won. He got a Gatorade bath after this game. I don't know why. Or like he didn't seem too excited about it, but overall, impressive win. I talked about this before. A couple seasons ago, North Texas went into Hattiesburg, and they beat USM, right? It was Quadre Griggs as the quarterback. Ito Smith was still the running back. It was like Robertson on the outside. And I forget the other guy, the other receiver. Basically, talent all over the field for Southern Miss, right? You feel good about your team. North Texas came in. It was a young Mason Fine. I think he was a sophomore at the time. They had Jeff Wilson, who now plays for the 49ers. They had Jalen Guyton, who, you know, tried out for the Cowboys. Rico Bussey, you know, a lot of the cast of characters that you know from this North Texas team recently. Well, USM got a big. North Texas comes back, wins the game. Jalen Guyton goes off for, like, almost 300 yards receiving. This is ridiculous. And North Texas came out of there And it kind of turned the tide, right? Where Southern Miss was like a contender for a couple seasons there under Nick Mullins, and then you thought they was going to keep it going under Quadri Griggs or Keon, I forget his name now. But you know you get what I'm saying. You thought they were going to keep it going. Well, it was like a change in the guard, right? North Texas became the team to beat. They were the ones winning, the ones getting the press. Southern Miss was kind of rebuilding. Last year, more of that rebuilding. This year came to their own, right? They found a quarterback, Jack Abraham. He's accurate. You have questions about his interceptions and his turnover ability. I think he kind of fumbled the ball a little bit. I think it's officially down as a fumble. But no interceptions, 421 yards, three touchdown passes, 29-36 passing. Excellent game for him. He found the right guys. He was hitting dudes. Again, in the hands, in stride. You know, unlike... I don't know where you think of what you think of Jack Abraham as a talent. Like, does he just have a big arm or whatever? Right now, it doesn't matter because he has talented dudes, and what you need to do is get the ball to them as quickly as possible, right? Jack Abraham is not a threat to score from anywhere on the field, right? But he's a threat to get it to guys that can score from anywhere on the field, right? You see my point there. You see the difference, an essential difference. DeMichael Harris can score from anywhere, man. That dude is ridiculous. Quez Watkins is a great receiver. So much talent, so many weapons on this offense, and the defense stepped up, and, you know, they were just flying all over the field, making plays. Mason Fine didn't have anywhere to throw. He was 11 to 25 for 217 and three scores. But, you know, he didn't really play that well. He got sacked a ton, and he got knocked out of the game permanently. North Texas did have some injuries. Again, Mason Fine did get injured. And Trey Siggers went out, right? He was leading the conference in yards per game for a little bit. He had five carries for 22 yards when he went out. DeAndre Torrey, Mississippi native, 13 carries, 61 yards. Didn't really do too much. Didn't get loose. Again, just a great job by Mississippi, Southern Mississippi. Just you know, making it tough and pulling the game away in the third quarter. They scored 10. North Texas missed a field goal, but USM goes down and scores again. I think it was four or five straight drives from the second to third quarter where Southern Miss scored. And that really was the game, right? 25 points scored in the second and third quarter there. North Texas put up a goose egg in the third, and that was the game, right? Basically won it there. It was a little bit of a back and forth, but just excellent game. Two teams coming off a bye week, so everybody was a little bit extra prepared. There was some wrinkles in there, some surprises. It was a fun game through about three quarters when then Southern Miss kind of just ended things. Mason Fine got hurt. That was all she wrote. For USM, you know, we really like where you are right now. You have an explosive offense. You feel confident, I think, about basically your chances against anybody, right? What team, look at it, what team is going to beat you, right? What team is just that much better than you? I can't see it, right? Louisiana Tech, that's a tough game on the road, but you feel like, you know what, we can make some plays defensively. If we can get the ball to our playmakers and take care of the ball, we'll be great, right? We'll be fine. Rice is not super threatening. They're tough. You got to take them seriously, but you have some room for error, right? UAB is a big game, again, but they're having some struggles offensively. Their defense is going to be tough. That's going to be a real challenge. But again, the offense is not, hey, let's drop back seven steps, look around, scan the field, and then find a guy. It's quick throws, quick screens, get the ball out, get it out now, hand the ball off to DeMichael Harris. Or, you know, you can always say, you know what, Quez, go make a play for me, please. I need a big first down, and I'm going to throw it up to you in double coverage. Can you go do that for me? And he's going to say, yes. Yes, I can. A lot of options for you, right, against a UAB team that's very tough. That's going to be a big game. But then after that, UTSA, again, not very good. Western Kentucky, very good defense, but a questionable offense, right? If you can get enough, you can score enough against them, I think that's the way to beat them. And then finally, Florida Atlantic, a game we talked about earlier. FAU is good, probably the most complete team. You know, I think they're a little bit better defensively than USM is, but USM has a lot of talent. That's going to be a big game, but it's not going to really mean a whole lot, I don't think. You know, depending on what happens the rest of the way. It could mean a whole lot. It could also mean kind of like that UAB Middle Tennessee game last season, where you're just really playing for home field advantage in the next week. But hey, that's important. I think everybody would rather play it at home at the Rock or at home in Paradise, right? Than traveling. All right, so let's move on a little bit. How do you feel about Marshall? They are 1-1 in conference, 3-3 on the season. They played a little bit better this time, 444 yards against Old Dominion this time. You know, I'm not super impressed by a win against Old Dominion. You know, they have a hard time moving the ball. Marshall's defense is still good, and it can be very good in spots. They're at home, and they held Old Dominion to 206 total yards. You know, you probably allowed too many points against a team that only scored, only could move the ball 200 yards, right? But whatever. 11 first downs for Old Dominion, 27 for Marshall. The offense looked a little bit more comfortable, but Isaiah Green still 19-31, 175 yards. You know, like, I think nowadays you want to see a 200-yard passer. They did get 200 yards as a team, right? Xavier Gaines threw a pass for 33 yards. But, you know, I'd like to see a little bit more out of Isaiah Green, but this is the kind of effort that we thought coming into the season would be enough to win the division, right? Like, play great defense, get enough out of the offense, you'll be fine. That we've seen some real struggles from this team, where they looked like they were not really just not helping, but actively hurting the team. You know, kind of sours me a little bit on Marshall's prospects going forward. Again, they have a good coach. They're coached by a very good coach in this league. And that Middle Tennessee loss is not unrecoverable. Middle Tennessee did lose to FAU, so they're already 1-1, right? So you got to get over on them. You need them to lose another one, and then you got to win out, right? You got to beat Western Kentucky. You got to beat FAU the rest of the way. So you need some help already, but you knew that was going to happen once you lost to Middle. We saw that last season, that there was kind of that battle where FIU led the division for a while, and they lost at the wrong time. You know, but Marshall lost late, kind of blew their chances at the East Division crown. It's very winnable. I think we might see a two-loss champion, a two-loss conference team champion. You know, so I wouldn't worry, but, you know, nobody really can take their foot off the gas, right? You're just like, hey, if we lose a game, we're still okay. You know, you're still healthy. You still got a good defense. You're still okay. Next week's going to be a big one, right? You get it sorted out already. FAU at Florida Atlantic. A big game. You lose that one, then you're really kind of out of the race now. You know, because then FAU is going to be battling out with West Kentucky the rest of the way, and I don't really see anybody that can beat FAU. Even if they slip, they still have the head-to-head against you, right? I think you can lose again in the conference. You can lose to, like, a Tech, right? Cross-division matchup. You can even lose to, like, a Rice. They're not going to have a division head-to-head thing over you. You're not competing against them. But you don't want to lose to anybody in this division. That will be very terrible. But, you know, again, I think we might see a two-loss conference champion, and therefore a two-loss division champ, right? It's certainly possible. I don't think that Western Kentucky is unbeatable. Their offense, again, is struggling. Very good defense, though, right? They are basically doing what we thought Marshall would do, and except they've actually done it against some very good teams, right? The Army, UAB. Okay, so again, Marshall's schedule, FAU, big game, play Western Kentucky, get them all right out of the way right away, right? We'll figure out who this Marshall team is and who they can be right away. Same for Western Kentucky and FAU. I was talking them up. These are big games, back-to-back games. Next week's FAU games on CBS Sports Networks. That should be fun, the closest we have to, you know, linear television. Rice, Tech, Charlotte, FIU, all big games all, but I think those are only big if they can win these games coming up, right? So there you go. There's my Marshall take. I'm not such a believer as I was once, right, after that Boise State game where they really impressed. But, you know, anybody can beat anybody in this league, certainly this season. What else happened? Looking across the scoreboard, UAB went down to San Antonio and dominated UTSA. Tyler Johnson looked better. He threw for nearly 200 yards. There was kind of some struggles there, but I think they were self-inflicted. Nothing too terrible. I think the score was like, it was close, right? It was like 16-7 or some weird score like that. That's only because UAB was kicking field goals instead of scoring touchdowns, but they never really were in doubt in this game. I think they out-yarded them, UTSA, by like 200 yards. Was it Lowell Narcisse, UTSA's quarterback, threw for like 90 yards or something like that. Just never really challenged the UAB defense. I think this game was pretty much over throughout the whole, you know, once it started. Never really in doubt. I don't know if anybody really thought anything. You see all the pictures of fans in the stands there. They're just kind of resigned to their fate, I think. They're just like, well, I wish we had an offense. It's, I don't know, what is it, like 2 weeks in a row that the UTSA passing game has not gone over 100 yards? Not good. 8 of 20 passing, 94 yards for Lowell Narcisse. He did run for 89 yards, but, I mean, if you're going to go Army, you got to go full Army, right? You got to run it all the time. Sincere McCormick didn't have as much room. I think last week he had 189 yards against UTEP. This week, just the 34 yards, 2.1 yards per carry. Yeah, man, that UAB defense is no joke. It's hard to run against them. And when you can't run and your offense cannot pass, just, you know, that's a self-inflicted wound. Well, not a whole lot of offense going to be scored. Narcisse and McCormick did get a touchdown each. That's how they the Roadrunners got 14. But again, nothing doing there in San Antonio. And I think I've been on record saying I think it's maybe time to think about a head coach switch down in San Antonio. Just not good. Not good, y'all. It was like 33 games of in that time, in the last 33 games, they've only scored 30 twice or something like that. It's ridiculous. We already talked about Western Kentucky. We already talked about Tech. Already talked about Southern Miss. Let's talk about FIU and Charlotte. I think Charlotte has kind of found their level, right? Chris Reynolds didn't play well, 6-10, 114 yards. There was another quarterback like kind of switching going on there. You know, Keane came in for a little bit again. Benny LeMay had 140 yards rushing, right? It's kind of a, you look at the stat line, you're like, what era is this in? FIU had like two guys over 100 yards rushing. They ran for 350 overall. They basically outrushed Charlotte, who tried to run a bunch of times. Like Charlotte ran for 41 times. Ultimately, this is just one team being better than the other team right now. You know, Charlotte had a thing where they were doing really good, really well, and even though you knew they were going to run, they mixed it up in how they were going to run, right? You knew Benny LeMay was going to get the ball, but the way he got the ball, they had formation shifts, a lot of movement, and a lot of that was driven or complemented by Chris Reynolds playing really well, not making mistakes, and making timely plays when you needed to, right? It was still, hey, let's get our playmaker the ball, but let's make sure that he is complimented and they're not ganging up on him. I think teams have kind of caught up to that a little bit, right? Tough schedule there, right? Played Clemson, then you played FAU in a big game, and a game that I thought Charlotte could have played a little bit better in. They seemed a little over-eager, right? Reynolds didn't play so well, threw the ball kind of wild. They had some opportunities, but, you know, missed it. You go on a bye week, come back, play FIU. You're not really there. They're not as crisp, I don't think. I don't want to say they were reading their own headlines or anything like that. I don't think that's the deal. I just think that they were never a team that was playing well because of their just talent and cohesion. They were a team playing well because they were all on the same page. They were getting the luck that they needed to go along with that. And I think they kind of lost a little bit of confidence. That's what it looks like to me, right? I mean, again, you're playing some other teams here, but I think once you get punched in the mouth by Clemson, and then you don't show up the way you wanted to against FAU, that takes a toll, right? Now, this one, on the road against FIU, they're kind of in it for a little bit, but then, you know, just couldn't put it together. FIU pulls away, dominates in the with the run game, and I think that is demoralizing also. They don't really have the offense, the kind of offense that's going to, you know, throw the ball over the place. So you feel like, hey, if we're not running, we're not in the whole time, then I don't know if we're there. Western Kentucky is also going to be a difficult game. Then you host North Texas. North Texas is very beatable now, especially without Mason Fine. Middle Tennessee, they are like the definition of mediocre, like not in like the bad sense. They're just like right in the middle, right? They're good enough to beat the teams above them. To be any one of the teams above them, but they are certainly not good enough to not drop a game for the teams below them. At UTEP, the hardest part about that one is going to be traveling, you know, a million miles. You basically got to go across the world to go to UTEP and play out there. Then you host Marshall. Again, tough defense. You know, question marks on offense, sure, but, you know, I don't know that Charlotte's a complete team just yet. And they have a lot of things to figure out. And then finally at Old Dominion. Here's the thing about Charlotte. I like what they're doing. I kind of like some of their offense there. They're putting it all together. But I don't know that all that was sustainable, right? The thrust of them was like, hey, this team is kind of all offense, right? Defense is questionable. All offense right now. But that's one thing we know we can do. We have some talent here, and we're clever enough to kind of make some things happen. If we have that, then we can be competitive. If that offensive threat is lessened and they can't just score against anybody, right? They don't have that one thing. Then they're just a mediocre team. And that's not a bad thing to be right now. You had a couple wins, right? Gardner-Webb and against UMass. Again, UMass is terrible, but you scored 41 against Appalachian State, and that was a little bit closer than the score reflected. It was like 56-41. Good stuff, right? You did score against FAU. You had opportunities in that game. So through those, was that four or five games, you felt good, right? Losing to Clemson is whatever. Just completely ignore that game. And then there were some spots in this one where you felt good, right? This team is not that bad. They're right there, but I think they've kind of found their level, as I said. This is about how they're going to be. Good enough to put some points on the board, about 20, 25 points, maybe 30 points, but not good enough to have a complete game, not good enough to not have some mistakes that hurt you. You know, turnover here, incompletion when, you know, a bad route run when you should have ran this one, that kind of thing, right? You're not doing the things that you need to do to win games right now, but you're doing enough to make it interesting and to make people say, hey, you know, they're not so bad. It's not a bad place to be. It's part of the development of a program. So that's Charlotte right now. Don't feel bad about them. FIU, they're getting back to being the team that we thought they would be. James Morgan doing less, 13 of 16, 160 for two touchdowns. Giving the ball to their two running backs, and they're going out there and scoring. That's one way to not throw interceptions, right, is to not throw the ball that often. 48 points for FIU. They feel good, I think, but they're really behind it right now, right? 1-2 in conference. You needed this win. 3-3 on the season, halfway to bowl eligibility. That feels good, right? Looking at their schedule again, the loss to Tulane doesn't look so bad anymore because Tulane is very good, turns out. Loss to Western Kentucky doesn't look so bad anymore because, hey, they have a good defense. You beat New Hampshire. You lose to La Tech. That one is a tough one. That's a team you need to beat. In preseason, you were thinking this is a team that you might see again in the conference title game. You beat UMass 44-0 in a game that UMass is, everybody beats them. big win against Charlotte, right? Charlotte is a team that can jump up and beat you if you're not careful, if you're not taking them seriously. You beat them. So maybe FIU is not so bad anymore, right? Nah, I mean, I think a good team, a championship team, beats Western Kentucky. A championship team maybe competes a little bit better against Tulane. A championship team gives Tech a little bit more of a game than they did. That's my thinking. You host UTEP, you travel to Middle Tennessee, host Old Dominion, travel to FAU, right? It's not really travel, it's like down the road. Then the big game against Miami. That might be distracting, and I mean, I don't know. It's a weird spot on the schedule. You know, it's like Thanksgiving time, right around Thanksgiving. How good is Miami? Nobody knows, you know, right now. You beat them. Is it that impressive? I don't know. It's big for the city, but it's not really, doesn't really do too much, or does little at all for the conference. And it might take away from the big final game at Marshall to end the season. So, you know, I can see FIU beating UTEP. You know, Middle Tennessee, that, to me, that's kind of a toss-up game, especially on the road. I can see him beating Old Dominion. FAU, that's a loss. You know, FAU has had the FIU's number in this matchup, you know, last couple seasons. If you lose this game, it's pretty much done. You lose any game the rest of the way, it's pretty much done. You got to go undefeated the rest of the way, I think. You have two losses already. Western Kentucky leads the division. They've already beaten you, so they have the head-to-head tiebreaker against you. You got to sweep the rest of the way and hope Western Kentucky stumbles. That's it. That's what you need. You need two stumbles from Western Kentucky, three stumbles from Western Kentucky, right? And then you can do something. So right now you're just kind of playing for bowl eligibility. And so in that respect, beating Miami is a win, right? You can get three from UTEP, Old Dominion, and one of Middle Tennessee and FAU is all you need, right? Two games that you can definitely, you should be favored in, and then one that is going to be tough, right? But that's how you get to bowl eligibility. Or you can beat Miami for that third win. Because I don't think you beat Marshall. I mean, I don't know. I think it's at Marshall. I think Marshall's going to kind of, you know, they play a lot better at home, right? I guess is the answer there. I don't know. Is that about it? Is that what you're playing for? That's kind of a drop off for FIU. Run game's getting better. I don't know that you're just ready to you know, pound your chest and brag on the rest against the rest of the conference right now, but whatever. What else happened this weekend? Let's look at the rest. Is that all the games? FIU, Charlotte, Southern Miss, North Texas, Louisiana Tech, UMass, Western Kentucky, Army, UAB, UTSA, FAU, Middle Tennessee, Marshall, Old Dominion. That is everything. Let's take a quick, very quick look at next week, y'all. We talked about a lot of these already. Marshall and FAU on Friday, big game, CBS Sports Network. That should be fun. We should all tweet along with it. Saturday, Southern Miss and Louisiana Tech, huge game. I'm excited about watching that one. NFL Network for that one, y'all. Middle Tennessee, North Texas at Apogee Stadium. Is Mason Fine going to play? I don't know. Is he, you know, I haven't seen anything, I haven't heard anything early Sunday morning. But he might be out, so we might see Jason Bean. Talented redshirt freshman, but limited. Old Dominion UAB, this should be a pretty easy win for the Blazers in Birmingham. Charlotte, Western Kentucky. Offense, you know, this would be more interesting, say, if we had Charlotte's offense from the first 3 weeks and not the one for the past couple weeks, but maybe they figured it out, right? If you're everybody else in the East, you're rooting against Western Kentucky in this one, so you can have a chance. But Western Kentucky can take a stranglehold on the division with the win here. At home, Bowling Green, you know, powerful run game from Charlotte, but hey, Western Kentucky just beat a more powerful one game that belonged to Army. Rice and UTSA, if you're Rice, this is your chance to win. UTSA has zero offense, right? If you can muster enough offense and keep your defense stout enough, you should get your first win. don't go winless. And you know what? If you're a Rice fan, you can travel to UTSA, to San Antonio. It's a short flight. It's not that big a deal. FIU hosting UTEP. Tough travel for UTEP. They're coming off a bye week, though, right? But same kind of deal. Brandon Jones, Kyle Loxley, two quarterbacks, no passing threat. That's what's happening right there in UTEP. UTEP will kind of bring some clever out, right, and kind of surprise you a little bit. But that's it. They're not a sustained threat offensively. So if you're FIU, just do what you do. Don't mess anything up. Don't turn the ball over. Don't make it easier on UTEP because they will make it hard on themselves. And, you know, that's it. That's your slate next week. Big games, fun games. My number one game is probably that Southern Miss Louisiana Tech game. And, you know, maybe I'll peek in on Charlotte West Kentucky. Problem is West Kentucky makes every game ugly. They grind it out. You know, UAB, Old Dominion, that's, you know, Old Dominion doesn't have an offense, and UAB has a great defense. So you might see some records. You might see a shutout in that one. But I, for my money, tune to the NFL Network or get on a plane and truck to the Louisiana wilderness to go to Ruston, because that should be fun. Anything else, ladies and gentlemen? No? Thanks for listening. See you next week.